Hey, and welcome back to the Extra Feature Interview. Today we have two fantastic people. They're both editors, they're both directors, they do it all. Art direction, writing, producing, it's amazing. We have Kevin and Jennifer Suter here today. Suter, sorry, I still screwed it up. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thanks for having us on, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're excited about this.
So am I. Your new film, Heartless, a short film, has it done the festival circuit yet?
We just started out. We've played three festivals so far. We've been accepted into three more. Getting ready to head off to Chattanooga for the Chattanooga Film Fest, where we're opening for a good friend of mine, Matt Mercer's film, Dementia 2. So I'm very happy about that. We just played the NoHo Cinefest, and that was awesome. We were in a horror block. The short film itself is a horror short film based off of Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. It's about an ad exec doing a presentation, and what she did the night before starts messing with her in more and more gory ways. So it's a nice, fun horror short, and we're really enjoying the festival run so far, and hopefully we'll be playing a lot more nationwide throughout the year.
I'm always to start right at the beginning. Before the short starts, we have, like, this really creepy music.
Yeah.
Like you don't even introduce establishing shot. It's straight music. Why is that?
I just like that kind of the way it builds an atmosphere. Plus, it's the Telltale Heart, and you have the thing with heartbeats and everything. So I thought that would be best if I had that kind of music growing. And plus, Steve Moore is my composer. He did films like Mayhem and The Guest. His music's just really, really distinct and cool. So I thought that cool, creepy music with the heartbeats growing would create a mood for the film, leading into that first shot of Shelby in the bathroom.
I guess my next question is, how big of an Edgar Poe fan are you? Do you read all the books? Do you watch the shorts? Do you watch the films?
I've read a bit of it. It's interesting that the film came about because of a conversation I was having on a film set. I was working, helping out some friends on the set, and the lead actress was talking to the sound guy about Edgar Allan Poe. And they were talking about their favorites, and those were stories that I dug, Pit in the Pendulum and things like that. But I was like, hey, Telltale Heart, that's the gold standard for me. And that's, I actually thought up the story on the way home. I was like, wow, that'd be kind of cool to do a short movie, based off of the Telltale Heart. But you know, I'm a fan of Poe. You look at Poe as a horror writer, and he's kind of the father of a lot of different suspense stories and storytelling. So I respect his work a great deal. So it was a real kind of privilege for me to go and tackle that in a short film. So hopefully I did him some justice.
So let's bring Jennifer in here. We don't want to leave her out. Were you responsible for the makeup, Jennifer?
No. Well, actually, you know, kind of in a funny way, I was, but accidentally. You know, independent filmmaking, everybody does everything on set. You know, I make coffee and set up, you know, craft services. In addition to what my actual title was on the film was wardrobe. But what happened was we had two makeup people, and the second person wasn't able to make it till later in one of the days on one of the office days. And so I ended up doing the guy's makeup and hair. So it was accidental. I was like, okay, tell me what to do and I'll do it. So that's how that happened.
Before I continue on with the short, I always like to discuss craft services. It's my favorite thing. I like to eat. So why'd you feed them?
I think we took care of people pretty well. I think the craft services is all right.
Yeah, craft services is crucial. You have to have a tremendous amount of candy, lots and lots of candy, and then health food too. So, no, it's fun. That's like one of my favorite parts of shopping. You know, before a shoot is going through and just getting craft services and just getting to indulge in your inner child and get all the junk you wouldn't normally eat and for everybody to share.
So you're responsible for Shelby's look, I guess, is what I'm getting at here, and the guy's look.
Yeah.
Really?
So I did wardrobe, and Kevin really directed my choices. We knew that we wanted a look, a really slick office look, and in general, Shelby is a challenging character. She's intense and she's flawed, and you want to get right behind her from the beginning. That's where we want to put people is on her side, because she did kind of a dreadful deed, and we want people to empathize with her. So we picked out the wardrobe based on films like Wall Street and American Psycho. So we had the dudes all dressed up in, like, total douchey outfits from an office, but really, really well done. So as soon as she steps into the office setting and you see these guys dressed like this, you're like, oh, man. You just get on Shelby's side. So we wanted it to be there and look professional, but also sort of put you on Shelby's side right away.
Hold on. How can I be on Shelby's side? She's shaking. She talks to herself in the mirror. She's very uncertain of herself. I don't know if I can get behind Shelby. I don't know her yet.
it's more of, I think we were going for like an empathetic thing more than like a cheerleading thing. It's more just kind of like everybody's been nervous before they've gone in to do something. So, you know, we were going for that with it. And then when you see the guys and you got the one guy dressed just like the dude from American Psycho, it was kind of like creating an environment where you would kind of be on her side. And then when they start their routine, that goes a little further in that regard.
Now, I want to discuss location, because I find with indie filmmaking, that's a big problem for you guys, finding a location that works for you, that's cheap, and you can use. So how'd you go about finding locations?
Well, you don't get much cheaper than the house we were shooting in. That's our friend Brian and Mel's house that we messed up severely. So we got that because we worked on it. Actually, the set that I was on when the two people were talking about Poe, that was actually a shoot that they were shooting in their house. So we kind of just exchanged favors, and Melissa was a she was an AD on this film, and she and Brian were associate producers, and Brian was a grip. So we just kind of help each other out. So because we help each other out, they actually shot something in our apartment. So we just kind of borrow each other's places for location. So that helped out with that location cost. And believe it or not, that office was relatively affordable. We found that on
Peerspace.
I was going to say PeerShare. That's not even close. PeerSpace, and it was an office that people just rented out for filming. So, that cost wasn't that extreme.
So, how did you raise your money for your short film?
We just kind of put it together, the two of us, through savings accounts and stuff like that.
Oh, look at you go. No self, no Indiegogo, no nothing. Just like, hey, we have cash.
No, it's just something that we like to do. We like to put our own funding into it.
So I want to go into, then you go into some crazy death metal music. You kind of don't even give me the same music. You flipped me on this one.
Oh, yeah? Did you like the song? Are you going to go out and get the Dillinger album now, man?
I quite enjoyed the song. Yes, I did make a note. So.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, that was a debate. It was trying to find the song because I wanted something to divide that first scene from The Office. But then in choosing that song, it needed to kind of create a mood. I did want it to be startling, and we had like I probably know the band Bad Brains.
Yeah,
a Bad Brains song in there. But it was just a little too poppy. It was a song called Attitude. And I was like, man, that's really cool. That's great. And she's walking down the hall and you got that Bad Brain song. But it was just a little too nice. And Shelby's got some issues. So a friend of mine, Jose Gonzalez, he was a producer on the film. He shot me over that Dillinger song. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, that's it. I really like that. And we were going for a contrast between the classical music that's playing behind Shelby in the opening scene, and then having the metal come in as representative of the two sides of her. The first, the classical being the facade that she has getting ready for this presentation, and then basically the metal is kind of her deep, dark soul, and also lets the audience know that this isn't a Disney film and there's going to be some darker stuff coming along later.
How did you advise your kills? I'm going to break down for the audience. I hate to do this. Only one. Killed with a teacup. I wrote that down because I quite like that one.
Yeah, I wanted it to be something that wasn't premeditated, because none of this happened you know, it was accidental. And then, you know, she gets into a situation and choices are made after that. But, I wanted it to be something immediate and not something typical. So, coffee mug was the choice. I thought it was, you're the second person to bring that up in like a week or so. And nobody had even mentioned it before. So
it's
kind of cool that people are asking about it now. Cause, I did think it was kind of cool. And rather effective.
So, Jennifer, in reading the script, are guys real dicks?
Yes. No. No. You know what? And it's kind of interesting because I had a conversation with someone at Nevermore Film Festival that we were at before the last one. And the person came up to me and happened to be a Caucasian male. And asked, you know, what I thought about this type of scenario. And I was like, well, you know what? Every person on the planet that is of employable age has had a superior who has treated them like crap. So, like, everybody can relate to this. Certainly, it's this setting that we set and the characters that we set are what they are. But we think it's probably relatable across all genders, all ethnicities. So it's just about superiors being jerks.
but everybody's wanted to kind of have those people get their comeuppance too. So that was just kind of cool little added thing.
I do have one of the characters takes a little bit longer to move on than some other characters. I'll try to move around the issue. I think you know which one I'm talking about, or I can explain. Tell you which one.
Which one?
Claire takes a little bit longer for something to happen to her than some other people.
Yeah.
Now, was that a time thing I was thinking, that you need to fill 15 minutes, that you need a little bit more time lingering
there? You know what? We actually cut some time off of that. It was basically...
It's longer?
Yeah, it was way longer, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that that was something where it was a deliberate choice because I didn't want to shy away from the darker side of Telltale Heart, because in that story it is really brutal what this character does. So I didn't want to kind of dance around that. Plus, to get from one location to the other, I needed to show that on film. So that was one of the reasons that it lasted as long as it did.
Shelby makes one representation, which I wrote down, that she goes, I had an ingenious way of burying the body. And I really expected a scene to show me what she did. I wanted to see that.
Yeah. You know, that is almost a direct line from the story itself. Because he was so proud of what he had done. It was a 12-minute short as it was. That would have been a little extra, and it was more the story. So I had other scenes in there, and that wasn't ever one that I had actually. But it was more about just dealing with matching the Shelby character in the present adaptation versus the Edgar Allan Poe's narrator in the original, and matching up just the kind of pride they had in what they had done, which is rather disturbing. I just wanted to deal with that aspect more than the actual physical doing of it. But if it got you to imagine what was done, then that's kind of cool.
It did. I had some ideas.
In the story itself, I mean, that dude, he chops that dude up and puts him in the floorboards of his apartment.
And
so
buries him over. So, he refloors. So he's talented, that guy. He should have been a renovator.
No doubt. Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, when I sat down to do the adaptation, I was like, man, I'm going to have to get really bloody on this one if I want to do any honor to that story whatsoever, because it's really, really dark. It's just he doesn't go into explicit detail. He just like two sentences where he describes what he did, and then he the whole initial part of the beginning of the story is him just kind of being really happy about how genius he was doing it. Or she. There are some that say that the narrator of Telltale Heart was a woman, so I thought that was interesting.
It could have been. I don't think it tells us.
There's no real indication.
And I don't think there needs to be. How did you do your casting? Was Claire ever Shelby or Shelby ever Claire?
Actually, Stacy was an actress that we worked with on a short film before this one called Feeding Time, and I really... I really liked everything about her. She's such a pro on set, and she's so good at what she does. So when I had when I thought of the story on the way home from that film set, it was basically Stacy staring into the mirror. It was like the first scene. And that I was already working it through there. So lucky for me that she was available and I was able to get her for this. Joanna was, that's who played Claire. Joanna was an actress that my friend Matt, who plays Dino, the American Psycho looking guy. Friend Matt had worked with her on a film, you know, five years ago or so. And I'd wanted to work with her for a long time. So I thought that she kind of had that look that I was going for, that really sharp professional look. And luckily she was available, and I reached out to her. And then Matt, who played Dino, the smile guy, he's one of my best friends, so that was just something where I just sent him a text. And then Blaine, the guy who what's the best way to describe him? The kind of the second guy, not the funny guy, but the kind of sexist guy. He was on a short film that we produced called Mainline. And I really loved his work, and I was like, that's a guy who could really fit this role. And then the last guy, Ron, who the muffin guy, he was in a short called Future Boyfriend, and I thought it was really funny, and he had just such great comic timing. I was like, I wonder if he would be available for this, because I felt like I needed that comedian's touch with the short, just to kind of keep it from being too dark. And he really brought a lot to it, kind of lightening the tone in the office and everything. So yeah, just kind of pieced it together with people that I knew that I'd worked with, or I'd seen their work, or I'd met film festivals, or were friends of friends, and kind of reached out to them and put the cast together that way.
I got a question. Who did the blood? I really quite enjoyed that.
Oh, that is Josh and Sierra Russell. They are just amazing blood effects people. They just, yeah, the second they signed on, I knew that I could go really kind of really extreme and far with the blood, because I knew that they were going to be able to do it and do it well. And that's definitely what I wanted. I didn't want kind of fake looking effects. I mean, they're just absolute pros. It was truly a privilege to work with them, and they had done the blood on the movie that I mentioned before, Feeding Time. And I saw them working on set, and I was just blown away with the detail of their work and just, I don't know, just how great they are. So I actually, they were one of the first components that I put together, maybe even before I cast it. I was talking to them about being available to do the blood for this film right around the time I was getting kind of the people together to make it happen.
Oh wow!
So they were very important, but yeah, they're great. They've done quite a few independent horror films. They just did the movie The Ritual that's on Netflix right now. So yeah, they're just awesome.
Wow! So you just like keep going. So I guess my question is, in the future, do you want to see your film on the Netflix, or where do you expect to find it?
The short or another film?
Your shorts. Like, you have enough shorts. You could almost make a package of shorts.
You know, I was thinking about that. That's we're in simpatico there, man. It's definitely an idea. Now that we've produced the ones that we have, I think that'd be kind of cool to put together a production anthology. Maybe so. Maybe that'll happen. But yeah, I would definitely like to get my work on Netflix. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, I think your work would probably fit. There's a lot of horror streaming services popping up nowadays. I think you should go that angle too.
Yeah, there's Shudder. That's an option once it does its festival run. And then there are some other kind of horror based, and then there's just some streaming services that I can look into as well. So yeah, that is a plan eventually to have it online where people can check it out.
I do want to go back to the short for a couple more seconds. That had to be the worst presentation I've ever seen in my life. I have to agree with Claire. That was terrible.
She did great.
She was terrible. Should have been fired.
Let me jump in here, because that was the one Lillian and I put together. You're welcome.
It was terrible. I agreed with Claire. I'm like, but obviously the presentation has really nothing to do with the short, other than that's why they're there.
It's about communication.
About
communication, man.
You think that's, I should have felt that. You're wrong. It wasn't about the violent acts of horror of killing. No, it was about communication. You're right.
You know, I'll tell you, we actually film way more of that presentation that I had it in my mind. It was going to have more of the presentation in there, but nobody wants to sit in a horror movie and watch a presentation, man. So it just got cut up and cut up and cut up to where it was only on screen for maybe 15 seconds.
Perfect.
Absolutely. We filmed for like an hour and something, just different takes of that, maybe 2 hours, or just different takes of her doing that presentation. And it's just, I mean, it's, who wants to sit through a PowerPoint in a movie?
Not me. Like, not me. Trust me. I was good with the 15 seconds.
Everybody'd be walking out. Even if it was the most killer PowerPoint presentation ever done, it's still not as cool as a horror movie.
That's true.
So you got to go with the blood, man.
I'm with you. And how do you take your coffee at the end of the film? I thought was quite cute. I did thought that was quite cute, too.
Yeah, anywhere away from Shelby.
Yeah.
I will take my coffee anywhere away from Shelby.
Now, I guess my question is, has Shelby done this before?
No.
You think
no.
This is the first time?
Yeah.
See, I didn't think so. I think because she's done this before or thought about doing it before.
She just goes from corporate environment to corporate environment.
I definitely think she could.
Hey, maybe. Maybe this is the third in the series. I don't know.
Well, I think you have a whole plan here to do more Shelby things. Because, I mean, she
maybe
could
so.
Keep going.
You never know. Maybe it gets expanded and she just keeps changing her name and going to different offices and getting underappreciated.
I think it'll work for her.
All right, man.
I think it would do. So you've heard my interview, so you know what fun questions are. You're ready to go?
Yeah, go for it.
You are? Well, because Jennifer didn't get to talk much. We got to give her some fun questions, right?
Okay,
she didn't get to say. You can have some, too. Jennifer, your favorite film, and Kevin, your favorite film, too?
Oh, man, that is really tough.
You heard the interview. You knew they were coming.
Right? I know. And I thought about it all week. I was like, what am I going
to
do?
Oh, God, you've had a week to prep?
Pardon?
You've had a week to prep for this? That's not fair.
I just listened to your podcast, and I thought, oh, gosh, what am I going to say? There's just so many great ones.
Give me three.
Okay. You go first, Kev.
I won't say Blade Runner.
Okay, which version?
Not
like
the new,
seven
the original. Actually, not even the original. The director's cut.
Okay, I'll give you
took,
that one.
Where they took out the voiceover. But even with the voiceover, I still dig it. I'm one of the,
I love
the,
Blade Runner.
I guess, the purist that really digs the voiceover
nope.
in the original.
Though. I like Blade Runner just fine. No issues.
Okay, I thought of one.
Okay.
Aliens.
The second one, so you just want hyper-violence.
Pretty much. I like military people going in and taking care of business. And then aliens, and there's a little kid, and then you got Sigourney Weaver. What more can you ask for?
Oh, I could ask for, I mean, I don't know, man. There's a lot of great war movies. You just want an alien movie. I don't know.
You just want it's kind of horror, man. I was scared the first time I saw that one.
I probably was. I don't know. I was pretty old when I saw
that
alien.
In high school. So
yeah,
I
that's probably, we were
really
same age, but I think I saw it in high school too. So, okay.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. You guys have people over. You want to watch a movie? You've had a few drinks. What do you put on?
Oh, that would be a horror film because most of the people we hang out with are producing horror films. So yeah, that would definitely be a horror film. Probably, I don't know. It depends on who chooses the movie. I'd probably go more of a recent release. And I know my friend Matt, he would go with like a Carpenter classic, and then some other friends might go somewhere in between. But I mean, it's, everybody got so busy. We used to actually have like movie nights with people over, and it was kind of a mix. I remember we watched The Gray one night, but we watched the Del Toro film once, and that is just other horror films along the way. So I would say horror, but I'm almost guaranteed it.
Have you ever put on The Orphanage?
Oh man, that one's awesome.
That's my favorite horror film of all times.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, The Descent. I love The Descent.
I love ghosts. It's got to be a ghost to freak me out. You can't – creature horror straight doesn't bug me.
Yeah, that really –
Ghost.
The Descent did not bug you.
Has to be good. The Descent was okay. I like that. It was good. But no, the Orphanage scared the crap out of me. Absolutely did it because that thing is so creepy and takes its time.
Yeah.
And Bill, don't watch it at home by yourself. That's all I had to say. I was nobody else. I'm like, I'm losing it here.
Yeah, I'm also like borderline claustrophobic sometimes, so The Descent kind of worked on me in various levels, and those creatures are just,
ugh. Well, so I like Insidious. Insidious did that to me. The first Insidious, when they go through it, it's very enclosed all the time.
Yeah.
That one did it for me.
Anytime you're in a situation, you're all trapped and everything. Yeah, everybody's going to feel that, I think.
I thought you said this. And in your film, let's go back to your film for a second. You feel very enclosed in your film. There's no space.
What was that?
Your film has no space either. I could argue your film's very enclosed.
Well, yeah, we kind of wanted to there's not a whole lot of wide establishing shots. I wanted people to be in there with Shelby as uncomfortable as that can be at times.
But, oh, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was by design. It's like just one establishing shot, and then it's pretty much, you know, mediums and things like that, just to keep you in the world of the character.
Just because Jennifer's heard the show, I'm going to change my last question just to confuse her.
Right.
What's the one movie on your shelf people would be shocked that's there?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I know you have one.
For me, it's Legally Blonde.
There you go. Oh. See? You got all horror movies. Yep. I'm like, what? Legally Blonde?
That's out there. Yep. Thank
Which is
you
a great
so much
film.
For that.
Which is a great film. There's nothing wrong with having Legally Blonde on your shelf. Nothing. Legally Blonde 2?
Yeah, this is going to be embarrassing because I just can't watch it now. But I remember when I bought it, it was that Oscar-winning movie, Crash. I don't know. It's kind of a mark of shame now that I have it on my shelf.
Then I have to give you that one, yes. That is not a good deal.
I'm just admitting this to a lot of people, but, you know, I don't know what I was thinking getting that one. But there's probably some in there, that would even be a little more shocking. But I can't remember them right off, but I just immediately went to what's the movie you just got to shake your head. But,
yeah. If there are any other ones in there, he'll just say they're mine.
Yeah. That was like a good answer. It's not mine. I don't know how that got there. So what's the plans for the future, for the film, for you guys? What's up next?
We're going to continue the tour with Heartless and see how many festivals it gets into and do the festival tour and go around and see it screened. And then, of course, do our best to get it online where people can see it. And currently working on a feature script that hopefully I'll be able to direct. And it's a nice bloody horror film, too. So pretty excited about that.
That's great. And Jennifer, are you just going to hang out with him all the time?
That's the goal. I love being on set, and I love being on red carpets. So basically, I'm just going to follow him to every single possibly one I can go to.
Okay, so before we go, what's your favorite part about being on set?
Oh, man, I love all of it. I mean, I love just watching the creativity and seeing, like, each individual person, how their role is critical to making this final component happen. And just watching people problem solve whenever things come up. I think that was probably my favorite thing about being on the Heartless set. Kevin had surrounded himself with just incredibly talented individuals that also were friends. And I would watch them. There were probably, at any given moment, there would be five or six people who had directed feature films on set, helping out in one way or another. And I would watch each one of them, because this was Kevin's directorial debut, like, take a look, and they all would step in the first time they saw Kevin directing, the first time they actually got to experience it, and they would look, and they would sit there, and I could just tell they were just like, does he need anything? Can I help him? How's things going? And they're just watching. They're just watching what he's doing. And then after about 2-3 minutes, they just sort of get this relaxed look on their face, and they're like, oh, no, he's got this. And then it was great, because when a question would come up, he would just be able to look around and be like, what is it that we do here? And people would just powwow. So I just really love the creative process. So I want to get back on set soon, hopefully. We'll see.
Well, that's a great answer. Wow. Can't even go for that. Well, I want to have good luck in your film. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Send me something a little bit longer next time, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I can do a little bit more questions. It's kind of hard with the 12-minute. I mean, I can drag a lot out of you, but I'm kind of like, okay, I'm running out of time here.
No, that's good. I like those questions.
Okay,
those
well, thank
kind
you.
Of new.
Yeah, I do try. Thank you for your time, and good luck on future
great.
Projects.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay. It was a treat.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.